Hello, you're listening to Water Cooler Christianity, a production of the North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church, where we discuss finding God in the intersections of pop culture and everyday life.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hayworth. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I just love everything.
Hi, I'm Laura Whitman, and I'm also a United Methodist pastor, and I especially love Jesus, baked bread, and brownies. Mm.
We're joined today by our guest, the very Reverend Claire Clyburn. Claire, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm in my 32nd year as a pastor, an elder in the United Methodist Church. I serve Westover United Methodist Church in Raleigh, and I'm the founder of Raleigh Beer and Hymns.
Awesome.
Would you like to know more?
We'll get to know more, and we will get to know more, especially using a series of icebreaker questions that we are developing here. One of my favorite questions to ask is to ask you to describe your walk with God in two words. Only two words. They can be any language, though.
That clears it up.
Practice resurrection.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like it. Claire, our next question is, if you were stuck on a desert island and could only bring one television show or movie to watch, assuming that technology miraculously exists on this island, what would it be and why?
That's so hard. If it were a TV show, I think right now it would be This Is Us.
Oh, yes.
I'm just really loving the way all of those stories blend, and I'm seeing a little bit of myself in many of the stories and people I love, so I would not get tired mining that.
You're already on a desert island and you just want to cry more.
Well, live through the turmoil together.
The
I was
going to
say Friends, but you know, This Is Us.
It is a great show.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, a very probing question into your person, into your personality, is you're at a movie theater. You've already got your popcorn. What kind of candy are you getting that you have to be able to buy at the movie theater?
That's really easy. Milk Duds.
Mm. Give me five.
I never let myself have them except at the movies.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
That's Aaron's favorite as well. And for me, I never understood the personally inflicted torture of Milk Duds. Just need a toothbrush to go with it, I feel like.
There you go. Well, those are our... Oh, and we have one final question, and I love this question. This is a question for all of us. I forgot to put this on our list. It is, what are you into this week? What have you been getting into lately? I guess you kind of answered This Is Us, but.
Well, I'm into thinking about Advent and doing some long-range planning and thinking about how I want that to unfold for our folks. So I'm thinking about the characters in the Nativity and the story of St. Francis and how he brought that to life again in his time, and that's just where I'm lingering right now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing. Laura, what are you into this week?
Well, this week I'm into Halloween. Our Halloween's a big deal in our family, and I realize this may be put live after Halloween, but as we record, we're approaching the big day. And so lately, in preparation for Halloween, we've been watching every scary movie and show we can get our hands on. And so The Haunting of Hill House is an excellent production on Netflix right now. And I highly recommend it if you like anything even remotely scary. It is good, but it has a good story to it. It's kind of like This Is Us, but with ghosts. So, yeah.
Very good.
What about you, Aaron? What are you into this week?
Well, it's funny that Clara would mention St. Francis. I've been into St. Francis lately, and just the animals. There have just been so many deer out lately, and I just worry about them, little sweethearts. Also, they're very annoying, but also just all the little animals. I visited a person that had a little dog outside, and it had cancer, and I felt so bad for it. So I've just been thinking about St. Francis and how he took care of the animals. It's so precious. And Laura is laughing uncontrollably. Just let it out.
I'm sorry. I don't like deer. They have an agenda.
Yeah, they do.
Out and things
just
and...
to exist how they did before the colonization of North America. No problem.
I know. Poor animals.
No problem.
Poor animals.
All right. Well, let's transition to our topic for today, which is the things that Claire gets up to with beer and hymns. Claire, could you tell us a little bit about where the idea for Raleigh beer and hymns originated, or how y'all came up with it?
Sure. I have attended the Wild Goose Festival every year since its inception, which is 2011. And 2013, the first year it was held at Hot Springs, beer and hymns was an afternoon event, and I attended, sat next to a woman who I learned was also a pastor in Raleigh, Disciples of Christ pastor, Holly Woodruff. And as we got to talking and we just realized how much fun we were having, we just said, hey, you know what, we could do this in Raleigh. Why don't we do this in Raleigh? So we came back and we, long story short, contacted a pub in Raleigh, told them about our idea. They were all in. So we launched in November of 2013. We've been meeting monthly pretty much ever since then. Different venues as pubs come and go, as they do. But we gather once a month for two things, to drink beer and to sing hymns. And once you're there, you realize quickly that it's not really about beer. It's really about the community that happens when people gather to sing together.
How did your congregations embrace the idea of beer and hymns and being part of that?
Of course, I cleared it with my congregational leaders and my superintendent before embarking on it. Because Holly was a Disciples of Christ pastor, we quickly decided that we weren't going to attach Raleigh beer and hymns to any one denomination or congregation. And we've stuck to that. We stopped counting when we realized that over 15 denominations were sending people to Raleigh beer and hymns. And we just don't even know how many congregations. So we've worked hard to make it a gift for the community rather than something that belongs to any one congregation.
Yeah. How many folks do you think are at beer and hymns in Raleigh who are from no congregation at all?
Actually, many.
Many, yeah.
Yeah. This is their community. And there, I could say more about that. We know that it's not a church. Mm-hmm. We don't have a big budget. We don't meet for Eucharist. It's beer and hymns. But there are people who tell us every time that this is their community. And we do missional work together as needs arise. We are very intentional about supporting local missional efforts that we can be part of and feel good about inviting people to support, and they do. But yes, we reach a lot of people who are either post-church or in between congregations or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you work to maintain the inclusivity of an event like Beer and Hymns to make sure that everybody knows that they're welcome and that it's not exclusive to any congregation in particular?
We have a welcome message that's inside our hymn book that we use every week, and it's a curated hymn book because it'd be exhaustive to do all of that. So, but there is a welcome message, and that's on our Facebook, on our website, all of that kind of stuff. And it is welcome to all. We're family friendly, where all ages can participate. That's one of the reasons we have it at a pub, and particularly we like to be at places where food can be offered, because we do want people to come for community, and so it's not an age barrier either. So we really are making it, we seek to make it as accessible as we can to everyone, and that's part of our welcome message.
Yeah. How do you navigate hospitality when you're in a venue that is not your venue and there are some people there who maybe did not intend to sing Amazing Grace when they went to dinner.
Well, when we began, which was at Tiernanogue, downtown Raleigh, their restaurant was set up in a way that there was a music side, and then in the middle was a bar, like you might see at Cheers or something, and then the other side was restaurant, and so we really always filled up the music side, but we were intentional about really just being in that space so that if people had come to watch a sports game or whatever, that they were not forced to be part of that other. I can say that in 5 years, we've never had anyone leave in a huff, or no restaurant or pub has ever told us you're not good for business. In fact, it's the opposite. We know that in our 5 years, we've generated probably close to $150,000 worth of income for the different pubs that we've been a part of. And so we try to set it up in a way that if people don't want to sing, that there's other space in the pub or the restaurant where they can be. But we're also upfront with our pub partners about what we're looking for and what we're looking to do, and so that, you know, they're on board with it, that it's not something they're
surprised by.
Not into. It hasn't really been that big an issue, honestly.
Yeah. One of the other things about inclusion is obviously alcoholism is like a huge thing in the world, in North America, in our own towns, homes, families, things like that. We all know somebody who deals with alcoholism. Have you ever had any interesting conversations with people who come from that background, who might be in recovery, or who might be struggling with that? And what did they think of it, and how do you kind of posture it? Because obviously it's not something for everyone, but how have some of those conversations gone?
That's a great question. And we do have people who attend who are there for the music, and that's one of the reasons we are choosy about where we host an event, is because we're usually in a part of the venue where it's not front and center in your face for that you're there to drink, because honestly, Beer and Hymns is not about beer, it's about community. So it's not infrequent at all for people to order tea or water or what have you, and no one is pressured about that. I can also say I've never seen anyone leave the restaurant or the pub in a way that I felt worried about their ability to get home safe. We don't impose a drink minimum.
Yeah, no two drink minimum like the comedy club.
No, we don't do that. But we also, it's pretty quickly clear that it's just not about beer.
Yeah.
And so what it is about is that when people come to a pub, they're already looking for community. Mm-hmm. And so we are about an expression of community in a space where people come looking for community. And we want to be in that space in ways that give people a chance to participate in claiming faith and in expressing faith in positive ways. And I am sensitive to the fact that for some people, those two things could not happen together. And what I can tell you is that for people who can be in that location, in that space, with a glass of tea or a glass of water, they're no less included than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I think that's such a wonderful concept, especially when you think of how places like pubs and bars nowadays are more accessible to families. Like, there's a family vibe to it. So our local brewery near where we live always has games out for the children and things that they, so it's a, having that food and that opportunity to gather around the table and not just the focus on the brewery also invites a multi-generational aspect to it, which is really it's cool, especially when we think of our Christian faith and how gathering over food and breaking bread together is such an important part of what we do.
Yeah, and I think it also models for us proper behavior or maybe models moderation for children, for families. Like this is the kind of way we would conduct ourselves if we were out in public, that we could enjoy, partake, exchange, sing, but we don't have to view alcohol as this dangerous thing that's like only those people do. It's kind of a moderating force.
You're also raising a generation to realize that church is not limited to the four walls of a building, but that church is wherever you find it. And that brings us to one of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther, who says, "It is better to think of the church in the alehouse than to think of the alehouse in the church." And what a great expression of the whole sentiment behind this, I think. What are your thoughts about that?
That's actually our motto.
I love it.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to disagree with Martin Luther there. No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
Well, I was waiting for the other part.
No, I think, here's the thing, and one of my parishioners joked with me that he said, he kind of did his version of that, which is, it's better to think of God while you're fishing than to think of fishing the whole time that you're sitting in church. And I think there's something to both ways. I think if you sit in a church, you're more likely than not to encounter the Word of God, to encounter Scripture, to encounter the Holy Sacrament, to encounter all of these things that bring us means of grace. But on the same hand, it's about our mindset and our frame of thought of, are we prepared for that?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're prepared for that, when we go fishing or when we go and encounter God in an outside space, there could also be means of grace there. But I kind of like to complicate that a little bit because now that I've been a pastor, I'm like, no, be at church.
and I certainly agree with that. And I'm, Beer and Hymns is not a substitute for a participation in a church life, because we're not a sacramental space. Though I am a preacher, I do not preach at Beer and Hymns, though we do pray together every time we gather. And I've never left that experience without a deep sense of the profound, where when you're in a public space where there's TVs going and conversations going and movement happening, and all of a sudden the entire place is quiet because people are praying, there's something incredibly moving about that experience where there is still an awareness that that's a holy thing, and then there's respect for that. We can see the servers who pause in what they're doing to be present to the prayer. People lift up requests or names. And because we come from a real variety of congregations and walks of life and even places that we live, we don't always know the deeper story behind the name lifted, but it's held in reverence. Then we close that out singing the doxology, and that's truly a holy moment. So we don't seek to replace church for people, but we do try to make an awareness that when we're gathered, God is present, and we look for ways to highlight that.
Yeah.
Well, it's an important intersection where people can encounter church. We know even from the work of like New Faith Communities in our conference here in North Carolina, you know, that they talk constantly about people don't, the first place they encounter God in community is not in the church, but it is in, you know, in community work and in gathering out in the world and doing service and things of that nature. And so it is, it's a place where that those two worlds intersect.
Right.
And through that, people can encounter church and encounter other Christians who, it's a good way to break down the barriers of how people see Christianity, I think, in the world today.
Right.
Well, since Laura got to give a quote that she liked, I'm going to give a quote that I like, which is from the great television series King of the Hill, Mr. Hank Hill saying, "Can't you see you're not making Christianity any better? You're only making rock and roll worse," referring to popular Christian rock music. Your thoughts, Claire?
I can tell you that at Beer and Hems, we are into singing the faith, not singing how we feel about the faith. And so we are intentional about singing things that people want to sing, enjoy singing. It's a little bit like a tent revival, a little bit like a homecoming, a little bit like a concert that you go into, you see your favorite band and they play everything you know and you can sing along. But we're very much into hymns as the transmitter of faith and the content of the faith. And I know it was, at the Wild Goose Festival, which is not strictly Raleigh Beer and Hymns, but the way we do Raleigh Beer and Hymns is now shaped the way we do the Wild Goose Festival Beer and Hymns there. It's common for every night of the festival, 400 or 500 people will gather together under the stars to sing hymns. And we have a little bit of acoustic accompaniment, but primarily it's the voices, and we're real intentional about that because there's something that happens when you sing and you make harmony with the people near you, and you have the freedom to find your voice mm-hmm. in that. So we're always about saying participation is more important than performance. We're not performance.
You're not doing it for vocal excellency.
No, we're all about participation. Having said that, my band is, you know, they're very accomplished musicians, but they really understand that they're not there as a vehicle for their performance.
Right.
They are there to enable the rest of the people gathered to sing.
Yeah, so it sounds like y'all are not into the Christian rock movement per se, but more into older hymns, delivering them as a vehicle of faith from a variety of backgrounds. And I think that's great because hymns have such depth. There was I heard once someone say, a wise man, if the Bible were entirely destroyed out of existence, if there were no remnants of it, a wise man might be able to articulate it with the help of Charles Wesley's hymns.
Yes.
And I think
absolutely.
I think that hymns, because they have such depth and such articulation, are definitely the way to go to teach without people maybe feeling like you're overbearing on them with lyrics.
One of the things you said too, though, about how the point of the musicians is to help people to sing, and I think that's such an important lesson, especially for us as Methodists and people of the Wesleyan tradition, because the first thing you see when you open our hymnal is a list of rules for singing,
yes.
Right? So that it's my favorite thing about the hymnal. It's so unabashedly John Wesley to have a rule, rules for singing. And I mean, they go from everything to don't draw on, don't sing so loud that you're overpowering everyone.
Learn these songs before any other.
Yes, sing lustily and with great joy. And every once in a while at church, if we have a rough Sunday, I'll pull those out and I'll say, all right, y'all, now remember.
Let's sing it again.
We're going to try this one more time. But I think that's such an important message, even in churches and our worship, that the point of music is not just to have good music, but it is to help us to be in worship together. And you can't go down that road without thinking of Soren Kierkegaard, who reminds us that worship is not a performance that we receive, but that we are all on the stage giving that performance to God. And I think Beer and Hymns is a great way for us to learn that together.
She dropped the Kierkegaard bomb.
I did. Why not? I got to pull out Kierkegaard whenever I can, you know.
Someone smart.
I passed divinity school.
Yes.
You know, two stories for me that kind of remind me of all of that you're saying. One is, I will never forget a woman coming up to me. This was at the Wild Goose Festival, which attracts a, you know, wide variety of kinds of folks. And one of the things we do at Beer and Hymns is we like to take old hymns and put them to different tunes, and we were talking about that a little bit ago. But Raleigh Beer and Hymns really particularly loves to do Amazing Grace to House of the Rising Sun, and it works. And I'll never forget this woman coming up to me at the festival who said, "I'm an atheist, but could you just sing Amazing Grace, and I think I'll be okay."
Wow.
And so that was, of course, the version that we sang. And she sang with all of her heart. And I thought, well, you mean I'm not going to describe you. You can get the privilege of describing yourself. So if atheist is the word you need to use right now, that's okay. But obviously there's something here that you're still searching for. And that's one of the ones we love to sing to from you too. Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. And then I think the other story I'll tell you is that, and this happens a lot at Raleigh Beer and Hymns, but also at the festival, is that the festival attracts a lot of people who are not able to be, or have not felt welcomed or accommodated in the church that they grew up in. Some of that is around issues of sexual identity, and some of it is around issues of fundamentalism and escaping that kind of tradition. And they come to the festival or they come to Beer and Hymns, and they find that there is still a place for them in the church. And so their favorite thing to sing is "It Is Well With My Soul."
Mm-hmm.
And there's something profound to me about hearing people who have felt cut off from the faith, who have felt not wanted, not welcomed, that there wasn't a place for them, to discover a place for them, that they have a place, and who can reclaim "It Is Well With My Soul." So just a couple stories about what keeps me doing this is that I continue to see in it a vehicle for reaching people and giving people a means to self-expression that for whatever reason they have not found. But there's something there that allows them to find it.
Mm. I got chills hearing that story. I love it. I love it. Claire, important question. Is Wagon Wheel the greatest song ever written?
It is for Raleigh because it's about Raleigh. So that's our closing theme song.
Some geographically questionable directions for yes. How to get from Tennessee to Raleigh. Goodness. So that, well, I guess that brings up a good question and a question that we've kind of danced around a little bit already, which is the bounds of what is a Christian worship song and the bounds of maybe what you do at Raleigh Beer and Hymns is definitely different than what you do in a church. But how do you know when to blur those lines? And you mentioned you two, which is sometimes overtly religious, but secular by most definitions. How do you know what works for Beer and Hymns and what you would try in your own worship services?
Well, I certainly feel a lot more freedom to try it at Beer and Hymns. And so some of the songwriters whose work makes its way into our canon, certainly you two, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Indigo Girls, Van Morrison. So I think the thing that holds all that together for me is some way to see spiritual nuance in a way that may not be overt the way a traditional hymn would be, but for those with eyes to see, for those with searching hearts, do we know anybody who can't identify with the lyric, "Love is a cold and it's a broken hallelujah"?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that also is holy, you know?
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
some of it I think is just about just paying attention to nuance and the songs. And I would say the same thing about movies, you know? I mean, it's, some things are, I can't think of who said it, but, something that we quote at Beer and Hymns a lot is everything is secular on the surface and everything is spiritual
mm-hmm.
when you go deeper and go below the surface.
Right.
And so in that vein, we're often bringing those songs, and not just because they're good sing-along songs, but because they allow us to say the things we don't know as much as the things we do know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proclaiming doubt, proclaiming just
absolutely. I think The Sound of Silence is a song that I will just never not love. You know, it's one of those songs that's, it just has a lesson about the gift of prophecy and seeing the world for what it is. And I think that there's a lot that secular music has to teach us within the church of the honesty and the reality of our faith that sometimes we don't dive into in church. So
yeah, there's also just the joy you get from, I think, when you know something, when you share the same language, whether that's literally the same language or the same vocabulary or the same musical background, it brings people joy. And so to hear Knocking on Heaven's Door when you're out and people might be singing the lyrics to words that they don't know as well, it's invitational and it's maybe nurturing or comforting to hear those words.
Well, Claire, my question is, going forth, what advice do you have for any pastors who may be wanting to introduce this in their community, or not even pastors, but just people within the community who would like to bring this as a part of what they're doing in their neighborhoods?
Look for partners. It's not necessary to be a Lone Ranger. And that's really also part of the point, is that there are people in your community who would welcome partnering with you, who are not hostile to expressions of faith. And so look for partners. And I think, you know, I can't sadly consider myself a young adult anymore. and yet the young adults that I know who are in my congregation are not struggling with a disconnect between pub and church, and they're comfortable in both venues, and so they can often point the way to you for places where they know people like to go and hang out and be. And I'll say, you know, we like to say Raleigh Beer and Hymns is a movable feast. We have not been at the same location our entire 5 years, and so learning to be flexible about that, and but also knowing that everyone we've approached has always been very welcoming and happy to partner with us. We're about blessing the community. Pardon. So for business owners, we're about bringing them business. For nonprofits that we choose to support, we're about supporting, you know, them and giving people a chance to interact in ways that bless the community in that way. The other advice I'd tell you is that there's no money in it. So, you know, if you're imagining there's a way to anything, there's not. But what there is a way to express community, find community, create community in places where people are already searching for community, but they still haven't found what they're looking for.
Hmm. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. Do you have any other questions, Laura?
I do not, but I've really appreciated hearing your stories and you sharing this information with us, because I think it's something that, you know, the joy of beer and hymns is it can be done anywhere. And so
it can be. And Raleigh has helped about 15 communities or cities launch, Atlanta, LA, Chicago, Washington, Detroit, Savannah. I mean, it's a model that I'm happy to share, and you're welcome to contact me if you want more information.
Well, thank you for that, Claire, and look up those cities, I guess, if you're in any of those places, or if you're in North Carolina, take a trip down. There are several other places that do it here in our conference and also in the Western Conference. This has been Water Cooler Christianity with Laura Whitman and myself, Aaron Hayworth, joined by Claire Clyburn from Raleigh Beer and Hymns. Thanks, and we'll join you next time.
Standing by the window on a cold and cloudy day, when I saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away, will the circle be unbroken? On God's celestial shore.